I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to go for it right now.
All right.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Whenever there's a big anything going on, everyone becomes a savant of that thing. And I'd say bring this up right now because of the Mayweather and McGregor fight that was this past week. And it captured the entire world, the boxing world, the MMA world, and pretty much everyone in between. And everyone I talked to was just saying how they just all of a sudden became these boxing aficionados. It was like, whoa, oh, I didn't realize that we all watch boxing nowadays. I thought boxing was like no one paid attention to it whatsoever.
Yeah,
but now all of a sudden, we're all boxing aficionados. We're all savants of the boxing game, that sport, that brilliant sport where it tests man against two fists. No, we don't know anything about that. Honestly, we do not follow boxing. It just annoyed the living bejesus out of me. Everyone's leading up to it in general, which is everyone saying how they knew what was going to happen. Now I'm just like, yeah, we probably do, but don't come up here until I tell me you know what boxing is about. Because let's face it, no one really does unless you actually are in the sport. Now, that being said, I had to get that off my chest. It's finally over.
That's fine, yeah.
It's finally over. No, it's done. Yeah, it's done with. For those of you who didn't missed it somehow, Mayweather did end up defeating McGregor TKO in the 10th round. But to many people's surprise, McGregor actually showed up. There was an actual fight we saw.
Yeah.
We saw a fight.
It was a better fight than Pacquiao Mayweather, I thought.
Mean, yeah.
They had, what, almost like 200, 300 million more views on pay-per-view than the Pacquiao fight.
Yeah.
And that was already the most viewed.
Yeah, no, that's totally true. But granted, you are getting the good, a great combination of people, though.
Right,
MMA
yeah,
and boxing.
The MMA world.
And not to mention just the sheer spectacle of it right there. And, I mean, let's face it, that Mayweather-Pacquiao fight should have happened a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was just...
Yeah, stalled for a few years.
I mean, because let's face it, a lot of people who I've talked to in the boxing world who do box or actually are people that can actually trust their word on boxing have said that that fight, when it happened, when it should have happened, would actually have been a really good fight because Pacquiao's style was something that Mayweather couldn't really control because Mayweather's whole idea is that he can outlast everyone. He defends with the best of them. But Pacquiao's strength was he goes the entire distance punching all the time. 1,500 plus punches a fight.
Yeah.
So that could have been an interesting fight, but we didn't get it that way. But instead, we settled for the biggest spectacle of boxing, which is a non-boxer going up against, quote-unquote, the best boxer.
Yeah.
And it was entertaining. I mean, that's what we got.
It really was entertaining. Yeah. I mean, if you look... What's funny, too, I mean, going back to Pacquiao, They read the lines from both those fights, and McGregor ended up actually landing more punches in two less rounds than Pacquiao did the entire fight.
Yeah.
So... I give my hat off to McGregor. I mean, like you said, it was entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Those first four rounds, I kind of was on the fence. I didn't know where it was going. It was kind of in McGregor's favor a little bit, but you kind of saw towards like the seventh round him really start to get gassed, you know?
Yeah. Brad, so, you watched it at all?
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
all right.
This is probably going to be the first and last pay-per-view fight I will ever watch.
Okay, all right. Yep.
And I had to go with my Irishman, but...
I understand, yeah.
Like, the first four rounds, I thought, if anything, McGregor was going to knock him out. Like, if he was going to win, those were the first four rounds, it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no. Then, after the first four rounds, Mayweather knew, like, he's actually legit.
Right.
He's not some scrub coming into the boxing match.
Right.
So,
I feel like... The first five rounds was Mayweather trying to get a grasp on the way McGregor was throwing punches.
Exactly.
I mean, you see some of those punches he was throwing. It was just so unorthodox.
Some of them were granted hammer fists that were illegal. He did a few of those.
I was waiting for him to pick them up and throw them down. I was waiting for
that. If you had watched the fight, you saw Mayweather really just kind of, you know, work his way around him, figure him out, really dissect him. And he did so in a fashion that really irritated a lot of people, I feel. You know, he always turned his back to him. He put McGregor in those weird predicaments where, like, he just felt like innocuous to just start hammer fisting the guy, you know?
Right.
So you could see him, you know, everything is intentional. Mayweather is a smart boxer.
Mm-hmm.
He's a brilliant boxer. You don't get to 40, 50, you know, without, you know,
being
smart at what the craft that you're doing.
I'm a little bent out of shape the fact that he gets 50-0 breaking Marciano's, you know, 49-0 record on McGregor.
Yeah.
You know, on a non-boxer. I feel like there's an asterisk
with that. For the most part,
it
seems like you look at a lot of the fights, the big fights that he's taken on, Mayweather, McGregor looks like he put up the biggest fight. Now, granted, I've got some of my own conspiracies about that, but still, you know, would another boxer been a better matchup? Would it have been more entertaining to us? Probably not. Nowhere near as entertaining.
Right, no. Well, no one would have got the pay-per-view if it was a normal boxer
because
we wouldn't have known his name.
I don't think that... Mayweather would have gone that long. I think it took him that long because he was studying him.
Right.
But if it was anybody else, he's already seen them box. It was going to be over in four rounds, five rounds, maybe with Mayweather.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
I mean, that is true, but however, I mean, Mayweather's not really the biggest known for being a knockout artist, especially in his later career. Like, I mean, all his knockouts were all, he had 26 knockouts, I think he does, and they're all, like, pretty much for
TKO.
The most part.
Yeah, in the beginning.
So that's true. So he might be able to, but I mean, at the same time, that 50-0, I think he wanted to kind of make it maybe special for him. And to really make it special was, you know, I got to get a guy that's going to get a lot of people watching this fight. Because I think that's all he cares about.
Yeah.
I mean,
he gets that $300 million. That's going to be very special.
Seriously. They do have some nice numbers in regards to how much money they did get paid. Like I said, it was roughly generated that it was initially stated that McGregor's getting about 30, but then it's all depends on like how much pay-per-views.
He ended up getting 60, I think.
I think 70 is where you walk away with like 100. Like 100 million was his like initial takeaway, but after everything, it's about 70.
Oh, with all the taxes.
Yeah,
and all that. I was going to say, I remember hearing 100.
Yeah, he did. Okay. I heard 100 was a number I saw as well. Okay. And then I saw Mayweather 300, and then it came down to like 240, something like that.
Yeah, right around 200. Yeah.
Somewhere a little over.
Which is crazy because that's half his net worth in one fight.
Poor guy. Poor guy.
Mayweather, as much as a lot of people anguish the guy and loathe him for a lot of his off the ring issues, the guy has kind of entered an echelon of athletes that only two other people have touched with Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods hitting that $1 billion club.
Yeah, the earnings. Yeah, I saw that the other day. And that really shocked me that he was the only one in that class with Woods and Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I didn't. Obviously, Woods, he just made buku bucks from Buick.
Well, and he started Nike Golf.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that is very true. And Nike loves to throw money.
But I honestly, after the fight, I was entertained. I thought afterwards it was going to be with interviews, and so it was going to be kind of drawn out and dramatized, you know, to an extent where it was just going to take away from the fight. But I really liked, you know, McGregor being interviewed and not really taking anything away from Mayweather, you know, saying, you know, he's a hell of a fighter, genius in the ring. You know, it wasn't the sheer force or punches that did him in. It was just the lack of knowledge on McGregor's part, I feel like, you know.
I mean, you definitely saw it. And I mean, not to mention, you're going a lot longer in boxing than you do in MMA rounds. I mean, you saw too, granted. Even McGregor said it. He said he wished he had gone down. A lot of people got controversy with the way that the ref stepped in and kind of really took a lot of people's kind of we love the glutton for punishment, man. We want to see somebody end up on the canvas, and we didn't really get that.
Yeah.
So a lot of people were kind of disappointed with the way they come in. Even McGregor was upset. I mean, was that something kind of annoyed you at all?
No. Well, yes. I'm kind of like.
Not want to see your boy get bloodied up.
No,
but,
like I don't want to see him get bloodied up. But at the same time, it's like I want to see him go down. If we're paying for that, it's like, I want to see him, like, he just can't fight anymore. I feel like he still had fight in him because he's the MMA fighter and he's...
Exactly, yeah.
He's got that spirit inside him.
What kind of threw me back is, like, usually you see TKOs happen when it's, like, you know, a completely swollen eye or a cut that just can't... There's nothing on him.
I mean, he had, like, a black eye at the end of the fight, but that was... I mean, but that's granted going to be half when you get hit in the face.
Here's the thing that he wasn't doing that... Probably is why they're saying it. His hands were down. I mean, his hands were down the whole fight.
Yeah.
But if he had his hands up, they probably wouldn't have called it because he was defenseless. But
right.
Yeah.
That's MMA
you kind of see his legs getting a little weary and wobbly there at the end of it. But like you said, it's way longer of a bout in boxing, and even when you are tired in an MMA fight, you can grapple, you can go to the ground, and kind of just do that slow.
There
defensive.
Are ways to max your tire. How tired?
Exactly.
In the boxing round, you hug up a lot, and there's a lot of hugging, especially towards the end of it.
Yeah, the last few rounds, I feel like McGregor was kind of running a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there was definitely some solid punches on both sides landed. I think ESPN had a photo of the night where. Mayweather was connecting on a right hook, and
is it the snot coming out of it.
I mean, that's such a great.
Well, McGregor had a great one the first or second round. He had a great uppercut.
He did.
Honestly, I thought that was going to be like that's the turning point. This is where McGregor is going to go at him now, but he didn't take advantage of that, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know boxing, but
none of us did.
He didn't go after him as viciously as I thought he was going to.
Yeah,
none of us here are trying to boast, or especially I am not trying to boast to be any type of boxing savant whatsoever. I have thrown fists at a dummy once, but that is about it. Yeah. I mean, granted, I've gotten a little scraps here and there.
How many times did I tell you to stop calling me a dummy?
Did I call you a dummy? I'm glad you set yourself up for that one.
Right over that.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, so that was the case right now. If you you paid it. Yeah.
It was worth it.
$100 for the pay-per-view, right?
I mean, I didn't.
I had 25 people in that room, and they all split it, so.
Yeah, that's pretty easy.
Yeah, yeah, it's, 10 bucks it's from not person. That yeah. bad, but yeah. yeah, worth the fight.
Yeah.
I would pay $100 for that, for sure.
Well, I'm glad we all enjoyed. Finally, I'm just glad it's over with.
Oh, agreed.
Yeah,
agreed.
Let's just get this swept underneath the rug.
But real quick, you think Mayweather is going to be done for sure at 50-0? Like, do you think there's anyone that can pull him back out of retirement?
Up until this point in time, you kind of felt he was leading up to that point. The way he was saying, like, I'm old, he might have a chance. I think a part of it was him trying to paint a picture of, yeah, I want to make the crowd make it seem like he has a chance. But I think there's also a part of him that thinks that, yeah, dude, like, trying to maybe paint a picture of, like, in case he did, something did drastically happen. Like I said, that uppercut actually really connects, and he gets one really good punch and just say, oh, yeah, have at least a couple of crutches on you, say I'm old, not quite there anymore. Let's face the guy, what, he's almost 40 now?
Yeah, he is.
He's 40. Yeah, he's 40.
I was going to say, I was like, he's in like 42, but I think it's like, he's a fighter. He's been fighting his whole life since he was four.
Yeah.
I don't think he thinks he's done. I think he looks at his kids and his family, he's like, I've got enough.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, like, he's starting to see that concussion thing. He's like, I'm done.
That is true. And I mean, it's interesting to bring up the concussion thing. Mike Tyson actually had a little interesting quote after the regarding the fight or whatever, and talking about the difference between boxing then and now.
Yeah.
And he was saying the difference from then and now is I was a killer. These boys are businessmen. So right now, you're getting it right now. All these guys are about the money.
Oh, yeah.
It's not really, granted, I think Mayweather loves his record, his 50-0 record, that untarnished record. But I think he loves the billion that he made more.
Oh, you know? 100%. Oh, yeah.
So that's what, I mean, let's face it, that's what McGregor did for this fight. He talked him way into nearly tripling his income.
Yeah.
His entire net worth right there. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think they both helped each other out on that.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. However, we help them out because we love to support douchebaggery. Like, straight up, totally do. We love it.
Seriously.
Yeah. Honestly, you just say brash stuff, and we're like, yeah, give me more. Just say what's ever on your mind, and you can pretty much kind of, that's kind of what they showed you. But don't do it, people. Have some self-respect, hopefully.
Take care of yourself.
Again, this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. You are listening to Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talks radio. We were going through just a little boxing action because, you know, we all love boxing. At least actually get into stuff that we actually kind of know a little bit more about, an actual sport I actually did play, basketball.
Ooh,
I like this.
For those of you, last week, and honestly, all the good stuff happens right as our show really ends.
Seriously.
So we have to, like, a long
time. I feel like
time,
every Monday night, like, at, like, 7:30, something huge happens.
So we're bringing up kind of old news, but it's new news now because of the debacle that's going on with it. Mm-hmm. We're, of course, talking about Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas being swapped for each other, along with a couple other pieces to be named, well, that have been named, maybe another one to be named later. The trade happened. Kyrie got his wish. Celtics on his team, he said he wanted to go to.
He was one of the three that he wanted.
One of the three he wanted to go to. So he got his wish there. However, during this whole fiat, along with Jay Crowder
and Zizic.
Zizic.
Okay.
Zizic, I think it is.
And they have the first round pick.
The first round pick for next year, but that's the Nets.
And the Zizic, he's a 7-1 center. In Europe, no one's ever really seen him. So that guy, I mean,
those guys are always easy to throw in there. Like, hey, dude, he could be great, but he's probably gonna be bad, but he could be great.
The Europeans, though, like, their centers, they pan out. They're not bad. They're not.
I mean,
like,
okay, I'm gonna bring up Mozgov right now, and he's
Well,
I can't even finish that sentence.
I was gonna say it's like,
But I mean, you see, like, some Bogut's.
You see, no doubt. He's Australian, though.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, maybe not European, but you see
foreigner.
Well, he's technically English, right?
Yeah.
Touché. He got sent down there for a reason, though. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, and then on top of that, they have the 2018 first round pick of the Nets.
Now, that trade, however, is being put on hold right now because during the physicals between the players, the Cavs weren't too happy when I examined Isaiah Thomas's hip, the same hip that he injured that cost him to leave the playoffs early. Now, this kind of puts on hold. They want to add on a couple more pieces, or at least one more piece, Jaylen Brown or their first round. Who is Jaylen Brown and who is the other the guy they got this year? Jason Tatum.
Thank you, Jason Tatum.
Jaylen Brown.
That's my team. I'm surprised I forgot that.
Come on, Brad. Why do I have you on the show right now? Not earning your keep.
You know what? I'm sorry. I'll do better. I'll do better on my Duke studies.
Yes. So they want to add on either one of those pieces right now because they feel they haven't gotten well compensated for him.
I feel like it's a little far-fetched
to get those. What you got was like,
we're talking a number one overall pick. They got him at three. They got Tatum at three, I think. Three, and then Jaylen Brown, I think, was at number six overall.
Six or seven, something like that, yeah.
There's no way.
There's no way
you give up that.
I don't know.
If you're the Celtics, there's no way that Danny Ainge is going to do that.
Do you think it's a possibility if they don't add it on, we're just going to have this scrapped, everyone goes back to Switch?
How awkward would that be?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of Boston fans that burned their jerseys. So, I mean, there's Cleveland fans kept their jerseys.
They both burned. They both did some nice things.
But still,
I saw videos on both sides.
I've only seen Boston.
Think about Kyrie, though. I feel like if I was Kyrie and you get that trade, you're like, get traded.
That's awkward, in your face, LeBron.
Yeah. And then, like, nope. I'm back.
I was kidding. I love you guys. I love you guys.
I wanted to go through because I want him to realize he's not going to win.
Are you saying Kyrie?
Kyrie, yeah. Oh. Kyrie's going to go through that thing.
He's got Gordon now.
I feel like they have some...
You really think he's going to beat LeBron in IT? But Isaiah Thomas, you might win a game and get to the playoffs, obviously, but you're not going to win a championship.
Well, I think they're going to do better.
I think with that squad, they can get... Because Jay Crowder's not going to start. He's going to come in off the bench and play...
Well, he's a great six guy. That's a good guy coming off the bench.
He's going to play some solid minutes for
him. Good defender, rebound.
Like you said, Zizic and whoever the 18th pick, that's a year out. But Zizic, he's an unproven... The Cavs don't really have that interior big guy. I mean, Tristan Thompson's fallen off ever since he's touched a Kardashian. So he's just going down the toilet.
They haven't had that for
right.
It's always been an issue for them, so they can still get that. I feel the Celtics kind of got a little weaker. I don't know. I feel they did. I mean, getting just Kyrie.
I think Kyrie is a better all-around player than Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas is the emotional kind of boost for your team that you need. You look at that kind of a player, you know, 5'5", being like, all right, if he's doing this, I can get in on it. But I feel like all around Kyrie, I mean, with Al Horford, Jalen Brown's kind of coming into his own now. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, they could maybe make a move ahead of the Cavs this year.
Yeah.
I really do.
And I agree with you on that, but it's like they lost Crowder, and he's that outside shooter. He's one of the big three-point shooters, and he shoots that 15-foot shot. But another thing, I've been hearing that the reason why they traded so much is because there might be conversations that Kyrie is going to stay there for longer now. It's going to be a long-term contract after this year, or they're going to sign him long-term, and that's the reason why they gave him so much, because there had been talks beforehand.
Oh.
I mean, he might be able to form something with Kyrie and Gordon, but I'm just at the same time, if Kyrie... if he apparently didn't get along with LeBron, why do you think he's going to get along with Gordon? I mean, all Kyrie wants to do is shoot the ball. And I think the Celtics are going to be worse off is that you're having Kyrie as your focal point of that team now.
I don't think that, though. You don't think he's the star?
I think Kyrie
is going to be one of the stars, but I think it's going to be a split role between him and Hayward. And even, I mean, Horford, yeah, he's older, but he's a proven vet. You know what I mean? You know, he's got a great defense. He has an outside shot as a big man, can shoot the three. I mean, I really think the Celtics are being underlooked in this regard. They still have their picks for next year. They're building, you know, they have, who knows, Jason Tatum after
that's true. There's a lot of improving stuff in there. And I just think that maybe Isaiah Thomas as a secondary player, he's no longer like, he was the focal point in Boston. That was his squad.
Yeah,
he was the guy. Now he's got to play with LeBron. I feel it. It just seems like everyone that's played with LeBron has gotten better. Their game has been elevated in some nature.
The Cavs exposed the Celtics last year in the playoffs with Isaiah and his size. You know, you kind of see where how to guard him and how.
But again, if he's not your focal point, you still have LeBron James. Like, LeBron James, like, he's a 6'8" dude. You have to take him seriously. IT is now the side piece, you know?
Right.
And the side piece, he doesn't have that big role. He doesn't have that as much as on his shoulder. I think that he might be able to thrive a little bit better on there. Like, hey, you're our point guard. Take shots. Pass the ball. Distribute. Do what you got to do. But you don't have to worry about that huge pressure of like, oh, this is my team. I got to win it.
Yeah, but there was no one else that really could guard him other than Cleveland. So now you just take that away. And unless Boston, for some reason, is able to do what Cleveland did, I think they're going to be fine. I mean, he's going to be able to pass the ball around.
It certainly has been a very entertaining offseason, that is for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It still continues.
I feel like the Celtics and Celtics fans should be feeling a little cold towards their ownership and team doing the way they did IT, man. I mean, the way he played last year, arguably the Celtics were not even a playoff contending team last year in talks. You know,
they were borderline, bottom half for sure.
To go on the run that they did at the end of that season, mainly in part because of Isaiah Thomas.
No doubt.
I mean, having his sister, going through that traumatic, you know, losing his sister during the playoffs and coming back a day later to play, I just feel like I just
it could have been better.
Right. I just don't feel like you get rid of him that you don't shuck him to the side that easy.
I mean, at least
but
they sent him to a championship contending team.
That's
I feel
true.
Like that's like the
that
but is, you're going to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Cleveland.
Yeah. Well, look at
that's true.
Cleveland's now talking about making moves, trying to get trying to persuade Dwayne Wade for a year to try to come over.
Well, they need this 1 year because apparently that's all they got left, yeah, and then they go into a poof, nothing. They don't exist
yeah,
no more.
Yeah, I was going to say, after this year, LeBron's gone.
Yeah.
And all these little free agencies are happening, so they're all going to either go to one team now. So.
Well, Isaiah, it's going to be interesting to see what he signs for. I mean, he's on because, I mean, for a lot of reasons, Celtics got rid of him because I feel like they didn't want to give him next year a max salary. You know, his contract's going to be up at the end of this season. He's going to want close to a max. I mean, at least, you know, $170 million, you know, for 4 or 5 years, which is crazy that it's not even a max deal. But but it's I'm going to be interested to see where IT goes. I mean, if LeBron is supposedly leaving, Kyrie's gone, Kevin Love is, I mean, obsolete now. Yeah. I feel like he's just kind of disappeared. Does Isaiah stay and become the face of the Cavs now? Or
I was actually like looking at it. I don't know where he's gonna go. There's not really a big fit for him other than Boston. Boston was a good fit.
Right.
I don't see any other team for his play style right now, unless some pickups happen in the next offseason and the draft next year. That's gonna complement his play.
Yeah,
it's gonna be interesting.
Well, that certainly is going to be a debacle that we can wait to next season in the offseason. Because apparently that's a season now. That really is a season. Offseason has become the season, which is sad. Like, we don't really even care about basketball anymore. We want to know where they're playing, not how they're playing. Where are you playing? Because that determines championships, and I've always said it from the get-go. I've learned it from a long time. Loyalty in sports is bogus. So,
yeah,
no one does it. I mean, I agree that fans show loyalty to players, but let's face it. Your ownership is out for one reason, to keep those seats filled, money in their pockets, and possibly winning team on the field, and however they do that, they're going to do it.
And that's why you see the Tim Duncans, the Derek Jeters are like, they're so rare, and yet they're so coveted and prized.
Right. Kobe Bryant, man, please throw that name in that
Kobe Bryant as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, he switches numbers, all right? He switches numbers.
That starts over.
That starts the whole thing
Dirk
over.
Dirk as
fine,
well?
Fine, we had 10 years of two great guys.
Throwing Dirk as well?
Yeah, Dirk is another one. Dirk's another one. So, you know, it is true.
There's a lot, but
you got to definitely respect guys that do that. However, let's face it, those guys are fantastic players, and they have that luxury to be able to do that.
Exactly.
Let's face it, most of the guys aren't good enough to be able to dance.
Well, and let's face it, the reason they stayed all those years is because they were getting paid by those teams.
And I mean, granted, Dirk was one of the guys that he's gone taking to a lot of notoriety for taking a lot of pay cuts to help his team out. Kobe Bryant, not so much.
Dwayne Wade was the biggest one.
Yeah, Dwayne Wade,
I mean, like, when LeBron came in the big three, he said, like, give me the lowest. Like, he was one of the lowest.
However, he's playing for Chicago.
Well, okay. They didn't want him. I'm going to give it Miami didn't want him anymore.
I understand.
He says his decision for his next play, because I feel like Chicago's going to buy out his contract. He said it's either back to Miami, because all his kids are going to school there. They're all growing up there.
That's his hometown.
Or just go with LeBron.
Or going to play with little bro LeBron.
Bring that banana boat.
I mean, you have him, Carmelo, and then was it Chris Paul?
Chris Paul's on the banana boat. But it'd be interesting to see Carmelo still up in the air right now. Hoodie Carmelo still out there, too. I don't know.
And then
you guys been paying attention to that at all?
Trying to get Paul George as well?
I know, real side note, but have you seen this whole thing on Melo versus Hoodie Melo?
Oh.
No. Yes.
No. It's like, Melo, 82-0.
It's like turned into almost like a Scott Van Pelt SVP, where is he now?
Yeah.
Like,
I saw
this video of Jimmy Butler playing the other day, and it was in a hoodie, and it was like, Melo? No, it's Butler.
For those of you, again, who aren't aware of what we're talking about, Carmelo Anthony. Wow.
Anthony Carmelo?
Carmelo Anthony.
Sounds like a good piece of candy.
Right? Ooh. Has been putting himself through some rigorous practice routines, shooting shots left and right, and not missing a single one, all while wearing a hoodie. And he's become known as Hoodie Melo, and he has a fantastic rating on 2K18 right now, I want to say. It's like 95 or something like
that.
Guys, that's low blow.
His defense has to be like a 38.
That's probably what's bringing him down a little bit. He's probably
so he's got the Harden rating?
Yeah.
The Harden rating?
Yeah. He's got lower than that.
Wow.
But yes, Hoodie Melo is alive, and he's a viral sensation. He's fantastic. It's just a fun little comparison between how Melo is when he's got no one guarding him versus when he's in the game. So it's amazing to see how much better you are when no one's guarding you guys.
100%.
So, like I said, this is FM 90.1 KZFR. This is Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk show. Just got our way through some trade talks that are always this drama-filled soap opera of the NBA. Hope you guys had your bonbons on because we just went deep into that rabbit hole. We're going to keep this train moving on right now. We're going to take a quick little break to thank the sponsors of this wonderful program of ours and this wonderful station because, let's face it, these lights would not be on. I would not be on this mic. Neither would these two gentlemen without your help, without you guys listening and contributing to us. So, like I said, talking about practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, producers of fine beers and ales. Sierra Nevada also offers fine dining at their tap room and restaurant at 1075 East 20th Street in Chico. More information at sierranevada.com. Dude, we're all locals here in Chico, man. Do we need more info on Sierra Nevada? No. We know everything about Sierra Nevada. We love you.
We love you guys. Yeah, you are one of the best beers around. I love you guys.
Glorious to have you guys, especially in this town. Like,
there's a Sierra Nevada tap takeover as well going on at Poorhouse for the next week.
Okay, so got some interesting beers over at
really good,
right now.
Yeah, really good beers.
I did see your snap. I saw some beers I had not seen before whatsoever. So Sierra Nevada.
A lot of good collaborations with Sierra Nevada.
Those are honestly like the most special. Coming out of those, like going down to their, Saturday beer markets are great.
Yeah.
Their beer camp
I always look forward to that one.
And they do such a good thing, bringing in all those small town micro brews.
Yeah.
King Grossman, if you're listening, bring back Flipside, please.
Please do, actually. Yeah. That I will agree with. That was a great red IPA.
Great beer.
So, as we continue down, because we love beer. This is Chico. Beer is kind of infused in our blood, I feel, a little bit. It's part of our culture, and they've done such a great job of accumulating that for us.
And just giving back to the community.
Oh, yeah, totally. He's great at that. So we're going to get a little news right now because that's what I do after we thank the people that keep us on. Giants fans, you actually have something you might want to look forward to in this coming offseason. Giancarlo Stanton?
What?
Those rumors have been circulating right now as the home run king right now in the MLB. The monster of a human being, Mr. 50 home runs himself, is probably going to be on the move. Yeah. Might be on the move. And the Giants are a big team that want him. Brad's shaking his head no.
Well, I mean, you look at where he's at right now. He's in Miami.
Right.
Look at where he's hitting in Miami. You look at where he's going to be hitting in San Francisco. He's not going to be producing. He's going to drop down to like 25.
That's a huge park in Miami. Granted, I know AT&T is big.
AT&T is definitely a pitcher's park.
It's a pitcher's
being on
park,
the bay
and
there.
It dies out there.
But
he's,
I mean,
what,
he's
a lefty, righty.
No, he's a righty.
He's a righty.
He's
so
a righty.
Like,
so it'll be a little. It'll be a little easier for him going to right or going to left field.
He's going to the glove, right? He goes to the glove.
He'll go towards the glove. Yeah. But I mean, if you look at that guy swing the bat, he's
so pure.
Most of the time when he's hitting home runs, he's flat footed.
I mean, the guy's got so much power on him.
I'm so worried about that stadium.
The exciting thing to think about, though, is last year Barry Bonds was the Marlins hitting coach, and they
wonder how much that had to do with
they grew a really good relationship that year. So now Bonds being advisor for the Giants right now, I feel like there's maybe a little that's coming over.
And he was a Marlins hitting coach for the past few years.
That's
too.
What I'm saying. Yeah.
He's got that nice connection.
Why not?
But
bring
how much
him on
would
over.
You drop on him because the
Giants this, have been at this point. At this point, the Giants are in a fire sale.
The Giants are notorious for overspending. So how much would you actually?
But I mean, you guys got three championships out of that.
Well,
so
we're not
going to
give him. We won't give him Barry Zito money, but we'll give him.
Zito was the only guy we like. Really overspent for the rest of them were homegrown.
Yeah,
no doubt. But I mean, I would have gladly overspent on Barry Zito if I meant I got three championships in
you
5 years.
You only got
years.
One out of him.
Yeah. We got one.
One and a half. Sorry.
Yeah, one and a half.
But you're still in that lackluster time.
But yes, I agree.
Yes, you got one with Barry Zito. Shouts to Barry Zito, though.
If you actually think of what he can do, I mean, besides hitting home runs, which obviously he's great at, but what he can do for our team, I mean, we're missing a bat in the middle of the lineup. Mm-hmm. We're missing that solid outfielder. You know, granted he's a right fielder, so I don't know where. I mean, if we're gonna try to get rid of Pence, Pence is kind of on the downhill.
Get rid of Span.
Span has never really kind of come to.
He never came into his own in the
right.
Zone.
Yeah,
he had a lot of potential.
But I feel like that center field's way too big.
But I mean,
at this point,
the Giants are so. I mean, they're what? It's one of the worst MLB records in 50 years.
Oh.
You know,
I think we're like the third worst this year.
Oh no, we are the worst.
Has that changed?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't checked it in a few days.
Us and the Phillies go back and forth.
Okay, I was going to say, every time I check, the Phillies are the worst. I'm like, sweet. That's all I care about. Just don't get
but,
last.
But yeah, I mean, all it's right. just. I mean, I feel like Posey, Bumgarner. Let's keep him. Everyone else, let's put him on the block and
wouldn't you
start
keep
making
Crawford,
moves.
Though?
Okay, for sure.
I mean,
I keep Crawford.
Have a good middle infield.
Touche. Crawford Panic. I like that. I like that center.
Yeah, get rid
center
of Bell,
short.
Get rid of Nunez. Over.
But
third.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, no one's producing this year. No. I mean, the pickups that we've gotten in the bullpen have just been no shows.
I mean,
you gotta go back to the drawing board, and if the drawing board starts with Giancarlo Stanton,
yeah.
I'm okay with that.
But Crick and Black have been doing somewhat well.
Yeah.
Producing. I mean, for what they're being given, I'm happy.
Right.
Like, it's going to be a good future with those two.
I just dropped a piece of bacon between two dogs to fight over when I mentioned that Giancarlo story.
Yeah.
We all took off with that.
Well, I mean,
we're hungry for those three world championships.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
As long as it's not
especially
Dodger
talk. Especially with this season right now y'all are facing. I know.
Don't worry.
Tough.
They won't make it past the NLCS. So we'll
it's
be fine.
It's tough. You're lucky. You're really pushing it close to the edge right now, Brad.
But hey, the Cardinals aren't in the playoffs, so you're going to be fine.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to say, I take solace in that fact. A fun little story as we continue this news, because that's technically what I'm still on right now.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, like I said, they hijacked it from me. But it's okay, because you guys are Giants fans out here. I know. I'll let it happen. But a fun story happened this past week out of Pawtucket, Kentucky, where a married man hired himself a prostitute. Now, I'm not condoning this whatsoever right now, but he hired this quote-unquote 27-year-old prostitute to meet him at a hotel because he had been doing this for quite some time, apparently. However, that 27-year-old prostitute, when she showed up, turned out to be his 41-year-old wife.
No way.
His wife had been being a prostitute on the side for quite some time, earning a little money for herself.
And posing as a 27-year-old.
Posing as a 27-year-old. He was not fooled by those phony numbers.
Either she can pull it off, and why are you getting a prostitute? Because your wife that's 41 looks 27.
Yeah.
Or you're just shooting with the number, and I don't see it.
These are the numbers that were given to me by the story that
sounds
I'm reading
like
from.
Sounds like a Jerry Springer episode to me.
It really does. It sounds great. I'm sure they would have been great on Jerry Springer, and Jerry would have some great final thoughts on it. But
and that was, Kentucky? That was
Kentucky. In Kentucky.
Oh,
yeah.
At least Kentucky.
Yeah, I would say if you're hiring prostitutes, maybe just double check who they are. Maybe, I don't know. But don't hire prostitutes either.
Or maybe send your buddy in first, just in case it is your wife.
What? No one checks a LinkedIn anymore?
I don't know. I don't know how it works in this day and age anymore. I really don't. So, like I said, be careful out there, guys. The world's out to get you.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, it's what's happening.
Who do you think was more pissed?
That's a really good question, actually. Like, who is like.
Like,
yeah, I mean, it's like it's kind of like two people like knocking each other out at the same time.
I feel like
they just looked at each
money.
Other and they're like, all right, whatever, let's
but
go.
But one's actually bringing in the money, one's sending it out. So it's like,
touche.
But like, is she giving that money to him or is she keeping it for herself to get a quick
or
getaway?
Does she have a sugar daddy on the side that she's giving it to?
There we go. Well,
or
that's called a pimp. I'm
she's
pretty
a sugar
sure.
mama.
Okay. So keeping this great news cycle going right now because, you know, that's what we do here. On talking about practice, we talk about news. So iPhone 8 is coming out pretty soon, guys. Pretty soon. And that being said, the high-end one, the most expensive one, it's going to cost you $1,000.
What?
$1,000. $9.99.
I might go with the old ones now.
Right?
Does it sing me bedtime stories?
I would hope it gives you a massage or something.
Yeah. Does it have the headphone jacks again?
That I do not know where.
Because if it does, I might actually buy it. But it's like... I
feel like that was a bad debacle that they kind of learned from, hopefully, but I don't know. They're always innovating and advancing over there at Apple because, you know, they're secret ground over there. I don't like them. Okay, we're on that Cavaliers discussion.
You don't like them, says the guy with an iPhone in his hand right now.
Well, yeah, if you look at my iPhone, it's like cracked beyond belief. I'm cutting myself left and right. So iPhone, get better glass. That's all I'm saying. It's out there. It really is. We were talking about the Cavaliers and their attempts to maybe try to keep a super team or... a team together in general, I should say. They wanted to have a $140 million renovation on the queue. However, they've since canceled it with some tax issues coming on. The $140 really being up to $220 million, somewhere around there. A lot of things that kind of make so it didn't happen. But that when you just look at it on the just initial glance at it, it just kind of makes you think like, oh, man, there's in like full... recycle mode right now. They can't keep anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Their stadium's going down. They're losing LeBron. They should just move. Go to Seattle. Sonics need
honestly,
to come alive.
Honestly, though.
Bring the Sonics
yes,
back.
Yes, bring the Sonics back.
I'm for that. Yes, I'm all for that. Especially with those uniforms.
I
those
went to
fire.
Key Stadium over the summer. It definitely needs them back. I miss them. Seattle misses them.
Come on. Sean Kemp and Gary Payton together are glorious.
Great team.
If you happen to catch the Mariners-Yankees game yesterday, you saw an inning where five errors were committed by the Mariners.
What?
In one inning, five errors by the Mariners, a professional baseball team.
Yeah, is this the Little League World Series?
I'm pretty sure.
Is this minors?
No, it was majors. It happened.
Wow. All right then.
In with the Yankees. Yeah, they're at Yankee Stadium. So five errors committed at Yankee Stadium by the opposing team.
That's right.
Imagine
that's
how those Yankees fans were going after those Mariners.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if they're on the dugout. Like, oh my gosh, they were getting ripped
that's a
new one.
That's a great home field advantage right there.
Right? Yankee fans are ruthless. I like that.
I mean, just Yankees or New York or Boston in general are just going at it regardless who they are.
Yeah, I've heard some pretty horror stories from people going to Yankee-Boston games out there.
Oh, yeah.
Gets a little bloody sometimes. Words, more than just words, are thrown out. Well, something is being passed, right, is going through. And finally, I'm going to end it on this note right now. Last piece of news. This is something that actually kind of scares me a little bit right now. We are a society that definitely likes to think of our words and be careful with our words that we use them as we should be.
Yep.
However, we're going to the point in time right now where we're trying to outlaw words or fine you or put you in jail if you say the wrong words. And this is coming into a bill that's currently going through the California legislature right now, where if you use the wrong pronouns for someone who is a trans, lesbian, gay, bisexual, you could possibly, if this is in a, this is in professional care facilities, if they intentionally use the wrong pronoun, you can get fined for $1,000 and send a year in jail. This is what this bill is proposing to do.
What?
So, careful, guys. Watch your mouth. Watch your words. It can get you in trouble, which is unfortunate. Because I like that First Amendment, guys. I think we all should appreciate that First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful thing. It allows us to be on this radio right now. It allows us to really interact as a society. And when I hear stuff like that, it just kind of scares me. I know there are words out there that we shouldn't use. We should be careful about using them. And we should police ourselves regarding that. But the moment you start adding the government's hand into there and telling you what you can and cannot say, it becomes a scary time, people. And I don't really want to live in that world. But it's unfortunate. It seems like it's creeping up on us more and more every day.
Yeah, let's hope that doesn't pass.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. People want to be referred to properly. That's fine.
Yeah, and I get that. There's ways to go about that to ensure that people do. But
I feel like that's just educating from like the bottom up. I feel like right now it's like we're going to have a lot of ignorant, a lot of bigotry in that regard, but it's like you got to start educating the kids nowadays.
Right. And I feel like with this generation too, it's become so apparent with all the new pronouns and everything that I feel like we're in a transitional period in our society where it's like, you know, there's that older group that have always said he and she or whatever it may be, and now we're getting to this, you know, plethora of pronouns where people I feel like it's like baseball cards. Like, I can't keep up with everything it's and all the different
I completely agree.
It's getting a little crazy out there, but again, I just hate to see laws go into that place. It's something we need to be careful of and watch out for. So yeah, we'll keep on the subject of, you know, bigotry and whatnot, because today is actually the 54th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. A speech that I think really does ring true today. It really does. It should ring true to everyone to this day, or every day of the week right now. Because the words that he spoke on the Washington Lincoln Memorial are stuff that really rings true to this day and should be taken into account. You know, with that being said, I actually have a couple minutes of audio from it, just because, you know, it's the anniversary of it, 54th anniversary of a time where we've grown a lot. And we might seem we're in a bad place right now, but we've changed, we've adapted. And let's just hear some inspiring words from the great Reverend Martin Luther King.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Yeah. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
Very nicely said, very well put, obviously, by the great Reverend Martin Luther King, a man that we definitely need to take into consideration more, the words that he spoke on that day, August 28th, back in the 60s right there. Like I said, 54th anniversary of it.
It's chills right there, man.
It does. It definitely is. Like I said, it really does. It rings super true to this day, and it's sad that we are still having this type of discussion and these type of issues in this country. But we are still in a country where we can have these discussions, you know, and we are granted to do so by, like I said, that First Amendment that all ties it back together. So, like I said, we just want to have a little time to, you know, bring us down. The world is bigger than sports.
Oh, yeah.
And we know that. And we want to always make that sure that's the focal point, that we point out the important stuff that's out there, at least what I feel is important. So we'll continue down this path right now. We'll actually go down on a lighter note right now, because I did tease the show a little bit by saying how John is a lying liar who doesn't lie.
I'm so confused.
He's so confused by this right now.
I'm so scared.
Yeah, he is. I haven't told him about it. I put it on the rundown, and he saw it a couple hours before the show started. And he's been wondering ever since, and I've been holding a carrot out for him until right now. You can try it on. So this past weekend, it's Friday night, and I'm getting off work. John is in the bar with us as we're...
is in the bar with us.
Yes, he was in the bar. Yeah, sorry about that. Got sidetracked there. You were in the bar. We're closing down the bar right now, closing down my work. And you talk about how you need to get yourself to bed early because Saturday morning is college football. It starts. And you're like, I got to get home, and I got all day of college football to watch. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, he's right. College football is starting up right now. I need to wake up and watch college football. So I look at my phone. I see, I got Michigan, Florida State going at 12 o'clock. Perfecto. Let's go. College football is upon us. I love me, my Michigan team. And then I slowly realized, thank you, Brad. He's fist pumping.
Love it.
For the Wolverines.
The Maize Wolverines.
The Maize and Blue, baby. As I realized, I was looking at my TV. It said I was on ABC, 12 o'clock. So I go 12 o'clock, ABC, and it's Little League World Series. And I am vehemently against the Little League World Series. So I was like, what is this BS
right now? It's blasphemy.
It's blasphemous. Totally. And then I realized the date on it says it's for next weekend. And then I realized, wonder what games are today then. What college football games are today? Because college football has started today, because John told me college football starts today. And then I realized the biggest game that we had this weekend was Stanford versus Rice.
In Australia.
Wait.
Yes.
It was in Australia?
It was in Australia, yeah.
Yes. Oh, God.
So college football did not start, John. However, it did start. But
yeah.
It did not start.
Yeah,
it doesn't start until next week when Michigan plays Florida State. That's when it will start.
Well, no. I mean, it starts when Alabama plays Florida State.
Well, that's still next weekend.
It's this weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, well, this Saturday.
This coming Saturday.
Okay,
this
next weekend.
This weekend.
Okay, so we're still talking about the Friday day. Okay.
This,
okay.
This is for me, that coming
and
weekend.
Granted,
this coming weekend is the start of college football.
Yes.
That was like preseason. And it's just like, yo, you teased me, man. You tempted me. I was like totally thinking, oh, man, I'm going to wake up. I got Michigan, Florida State.
Okay, so let me...
Lying liar who does not
lie.
Let
me defend myself a little bit here.
He's a Rice fan.
So
there he is. We finally found the one. We've been looking high and low.
No, yeah, I was super excited, man. I'm huge college football head.
Clearly.
And set the alarm. And the same way, man. I remember we closed down the bar. We went to get some breakfast and or dinner, however you look at it. And I remember I'm big on sports bets, so I throw in a couple bets, and I wake up in the morning, same as you did, and go to put on my TV, and again I got the Little League World Series. So I was like, what is going on? And so I get to see I got to see Colorado State and Oregon State,
clash of titans,
which was fun.
Yeah.
I also got to see Portland State versus BYU, which was a doozy.
Mormons
the thing
versus,
that really
hippies, man.
The thing that really bugged me out the most, though, is the parlay bet that I threw in the night before. Again, I looked at all those games and saw Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
And they're next week.
So you have to wait for your bet. Yeah.
So now I did a 14 parlay, which I hit on BYU and Stanford.
Okay.
But now I gotta wait a whole week to hopefully my other two pan out.
I'm glad that you have
on Saturday. So
long parlays in between.
Yeah,
man.
Well, it's always a bummer.
It's weird how it's like the first week is two weekends. The first week is two weekends. It's the weirdest thing. Like,
yeah, it's like zero period at school. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like you show.
We're starting, but we're not really starting. Yeah. That's what it was.
You have the nerds that come out the first week. Yeah. And it's like no one really wants to be there.
I'm saying these guys are the nerds. It's more like these are the people that no one pays attention to. So this is their one chance to shine. Like Portland State, you know, this is their one chance. Get on ESPN, guys.
Didn't use my words right.
Yeah. No, because like, it just these are the people that they never get any airtime, and this is their chance to shine. My time to shine, coach. Put me in.
Yeah.
So, right on. If you,
coach would have put me in, we would have won state.
We would have won state. That's unfortunate. Not everyone can be put in. So it is really sad that I had a whole bent up. I was like, oh yes, Michigan, Florida State. What
but
a
Derek,
way to start.
But Derek, guess what?
It's a Saturday.
We have college football this Saturday.
We do.
This is actually
we have
be a
good
one.
College football
this
Saturday.
This is like quality. Yeah. I think this is probably, like, looking at the schedule, this might be the best week. And it's the first week. It's unfortunate.
I got to throw up right now because Drew did text me. There's a real doozy of a game, actually, that he watched. Jacksonville versus Chattanooga. That was a doozy of the game right there. He just told me he watched that one. And, you know,
Jacksonville woo. State and Chattanooga.
Yeah, that was one. I'm sorry. I apologize. I just had to interrupt. There was actually one good game this past weekend. But, yes.
Thank you for that, Drew.
Yeah, your Portland State BYU over here is nothing compared to that.
Yeah. Chattanooga, Jacksonville, come on. That's the real clash of the Titans right there.
Yeah, I wanted to get your guys' take on this, though, for the first week of season. You always – I get it that you want to have some big eye-opening games to kick off the season, but I'm kind of thrown back by having a first game being a number one and number three team. You know, I feel like to start the season, regardless of fandom, for these kids, I feel like with college football and how competitive it is with the playoff, it's like, is your season really over after the first week?
I mean, do you want to take this?
You know, I mean,
go for it. No, answer.
I mean, like, I was just gonna say, well. The one thing I was reading, the voters are instructed not to take the first week heavily. Your season should not ride on that. But it does. Like, you're not supposed to take in the preseason rankings. That's what they're told. That's the rules for the voters. But they're there. They're there.
Yeah.
So
you can't ignore them.
Let's say for some godforsaken reason, Alabama loses. Like, you're not expecting it, but Alabama loses. If they get a second loss,
they have no chance.
No. I mean,
in the SEC, they might.
They're in the SEC, but are they going to make the playoffs at the end? If they lose to, let's say, LSU, Auburn, I mean,
if it comes down to Alabama and Florida State at the very end of the season,
Do you look at who beat who? Well,
is that what
you
gets
should?
You
I mean, you
should.
Think so, but again, you can't take logic with you guys.
Ohio State made it, and they didn't even win
their conference game
at all.
Yeah. So I mean, like, Penn State got, I think, left out.
Got the shaft. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people are picking Penn State on the. They're a big team to be looking out for.
Yeah. That quarterback's Heisman candidate. I'm really interested to see, though, because Alabama, I feel like, is always going to be, regardless of what team stack, Alabama is going to be a favorite. But I was reading yesterday on ESPN.com that their star defensive tackle caught a stray bullet last weekend after leaving the campus.
Where did he get shot?
In his leg.
Sierra, so, he'll be fine.
So I'm wondering if that, I mean, obviously he's going to be out for this game. And
great story to
have,
though.
In a few. Yeah. But it's like, is that gonna play a part?
I mean, are you talking about like in the rankings?
No, not in the rankings necessarily, but just in this game, against Florida State. I mean, Alabama's always been known for their front seven, you know.
But I mean, their front seven's gonna be, I feel like, highly touted regardless. I mean, they're about three defenses deep, and
that's true.
One of the best in the country. I think they're gonna be fine. There's gonna be a little bit of a hole, but it's not gonna be big.
Now, Saban does a decent job. I shouldn't say decent job. Saban does a great job.
Great job.
There's
a legendary
a reason why
job.
He's the best college coach of all time.
Alabama, man, how do they get him? Well, I don't know. I don't get it.
I could tell you.
I was going to say, I've got a few stories.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. I think we all have our ideas.
I was going to say, I've got some
time.
It's
stories.
Called,
how?
It's called boosters.
How, though? No,
not even just that. Like, I've heard some scandalous stories how they get them.
All right, man, alleged hour right now. Let's go for it. Or alleged couple minutes.
Oh, it's
let's,
like,
let's hear
talked
alleged
to a
stories.
Few players that got, I'm not going to say names just because it's protecting them, but it's like they got on, And then some test scores from high school were found out that they weren't legit. So, I mean...
Oh, so they had...
Okay. They faked their way through high school or something?
No,
or?
I mean, they faked their way to get, like, the SATs to get into Alabama. Because Alabama's not an easy school to get into.
Right.
It's not? I thought it was, like, a catch-all school, like ASU.
Well, I mean, it is, but it's, like, if you're coming from out of state, it's difficult.
Okay. I
mean,
I got an ASU, man. I don't know how.
I mean, yeah.
But Chico got me, too. So.
But it's, like, there's... I mean, every college does it, so don't get me wrong. But I feel like they're getting away with, like, the bigger...
Bigger
players, like... That shouldn't be going to college.
There's a lot of
yeah.
There's definitely some scandalous things going down in Alabama. It's got to. I mean, pretty much in every top, you got to feel there's something nefarious dealings going on.
Yeah.
In those top echelon programs.
Now, and
someone's mom is getting a new house or free flights out to see games or something
PG
under
bill
the
paid for.
Yeah. Some class
cars,
being taken
house,
for
yeah.
you. Yeah. Exactly. Man, I wish I was a D1 athlete.
Right. Speaking of athletes, D2 athletes, though, since it is Chico State, we are in session right now.
Nice.
That does mean the Chico State Athletics is going to be resuming, and it's going to be meaning that we've got volleyball coming up right now.
Yeah, already has.
Has restarted yet? That's right. Yeah. I apologize. So we are trying to, working our darnest, me and Jarrell are trying to get some of the Chico State athletes in, like we did last year, to truly get the interview, and we should be having Jalen on, captain of the men's basketball team. He should be trying to get. We should be trying to have him on. Yeah. We were supposed to have him on this week. However, things kind of with Drew being gone, we wanted to reschedule it. But we're going to be trying to get more people on. That way, like I said, we want to really connect this. We are a sports show, and Chico State is right next door to us right now. And they have some pretty entertaining athletes over there.
They do.
Great soccer team this year.
Great soccer team, and we'd like to maybe try to get them on too because I love talking soccer.
Oh yeah.
Like I said, we're probably going to get into foot and mouth pretty soon. Right now. I should do a foot and mouth with my soccer guys for the Chico State team. I like it.
Nice.
We're gonna work on it.
Yeah.
So yeah, we do want to give a stage, a platform for these guys a little for you get to know them, and for them to know that this community is behind them. Because hey, guys, those games are entertaining. They're
shout out to my girlfriend Taylor. She's gonna be coaching women's volleyball this year for the club team. So.
Yeah.
Club team. Hey, their club team is great, man.
Honestly, yeah. Chico State, regardless.
They've been going to nationals every year, so for the last 3 years. So
yeah.
Club team though.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of club teams that are great.
Play like
our rugby's a club team, and
UC Davis, Stanford, some good teams.
Yeah.
Club team.
Whatever, track and field.
I was on a real team.
You were on a cross country team.
And
is that,
a track
is that even
team.
A sport?
You ran for fun,
dude.
Yeah, it is.
He
would have went far too if he didn't hurt his.
Yeah.
What was it? Your knee or
my hip?
Your hip. That was what.
Oh, Isaiah Thomas over here.
Oh, Isaiah.
Oh.
I was before Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, way before Isaiah Thomas. So you made this original
a little taller.
Yeah, I started.
Right,
out.
Okay,
yeah. Slightly taller than the guy too.
Plus, you played basketball. So
I like that. Yeah,
good.
But I ran though. That was my thing. I know it was geeky as hell. It really is. Runners are really
fun. I joke, but it's impressive.
Hey, no, I know. I totally.
Competition is competition.
Yeah, no.
But no, runners are pretty much some of the geekiest people out there. No doubt. We are. Thank you for that wonderful input right there. Okay, so we got a couple minutes left right now, and I actually kind of want to get into this right now because it's awesome. I love it. When I heard it, it was just, I couldn't help but laugh because Vontaze Burfict, for those of you who aren't aware, the guy just. There's certain guys the NFL likes to really go after.
Is that the linebacker for the
linebacker
Bengals?
Cincinnati Bengals? Yeah. In the preseason game, he did a nice little hit on one of the fullbacks for the Chiefs.
Oh,
got himself suspended 5 games.
Good.
5-game suspension.
This isn't the first time he's done this.
It's not. But at the same time,
Antonio Brown in the playoffs.
He faked that. Come on. Let's face it. Come on. No, I'm sure he didn't. Actually, it looked like it was pretty nasty, no doubt. Vontaze Burfict definitely has developed a reputation for himself as being a pretty dirty guy out there.
Yeah.
He plays to win any weekend.
Bill Romanowski.
Yeah. There you go.
All he needs to do is spit in someone's face, and I feel like he's taken that.
I feel like he's already done that before.
Yeah, just hasn't gotten caught or something.
Okay. Maybe he put his hands above the mask just to make sure.
You can't see me. But yes, apparently this new rule that the NFL is charting out there to protect those defenseless players who can't defend themselves from vicious hits. I don't know how you can. They're coming all around you.
Yeah.
But here's the updated, the new rule book states. It is a foul if a player initiates unnecessary contact against a player who is in a defenseless posture. Players to a defenseless posture are a receiver running a pass route when the defender approaches from the side or behind. That's like the emphasis part is a receiver running a pass route when the defender approaches from the side or behind. So you can't just approach a guy from the side or behind. You got to do a little long loop, come straight at him, and tackle him that way because that's the proper way to tackle. Because if you go at him from the side when he doesn't see you, that's an unfair advantage to you because he should be able to get past you, right? Yeah. No, what?
Yeah.
What NFL? Like
well,
come on.
I mean, growing up playing sports, yeah. I mean, I feel like this is in every sport, but I heard it a lot growing up playing football, is head on a swivel.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Right? Your head is on a swivel. Yep. You know? It's like, if that happens, if you get ear hold, you get ear hold, you know? It's
those like, are some of honestly the best hits to watch when a guy's like running and coming.
And I'm okay with that. Let's not do head to head, but I mean let's put that face mask right in the chest and
yeah. Like I understand the concussions. Like there's a stat. If you go all the way through your career to NFL, you end it, 110 out of the 111 that come out have mental like stability
CTE.
Something like that. So it's like I understand that like but if you're getting hit hard in the chest, like
you're getting wind knocked.
You're getting
out of
your
you.
Wind knocked out of you. But it's like, I feel like the head and the knees are what you need to protect. And if you get hit in the chest, you're a man.
Yeah, take it. That's
what football
is.
There's so many. At first, you know, it's like, oh, you can't. Like, we got to stay away from the head. And then you see, Odell Beckham in the preseason go down and hurt his ankle. You know, and they're like, oh, that was a cheap shot. He went low. And it's like.
Where else is he supposed to go?
I mean, these guys are.
I mean, taking guys' feet out from underneath is a good fire way to tackle
athletes,
a person, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Running 4.240s and they're just colossus of men. You have less than a second to decide where to, you know what I mean? To either make the tackle or not. And if you don't, then you lose your job.
It's like at some point in time, we're just going to have to say, all right, we're going to no longer have tackling in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's wrap ups.
Let's just
wrap them up.
Let's just do flag football.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, that'd be hilarious. I mean, South Park did an episode on that, and that was that was hilarious. And the sad part is, I think it's about to come true.
Yeah. Well, I've always been a fan of, let's take the face mask away.
Ooh.
What about that?
Ooh.
So we're going back to, like, the...
Take the face mask away, and you're going to get a lot
40s,
of these...
50s?
Trying to protect your face, yeah.
Yeah.
That's your money. Well, not really money.
Well, I mean, you're not going to...
Well, I mean, come on.
Yeah. You're not going to get these...
I mean, Tom Brady's the only guy out there that'll... Yeah.
But, I mean, seriously, you take the face mask away. Granted, obviously, you don't maybe have... the full padded helmet like you do now without no face mask, but you take that face mask away and people are going to think twice about running full speed with their head down trying to hit someone. You know what I mean? You're gonna have these more calculated plays, more calculated tackles.
What they should do is do it that sport where you put like the bubbles around you, you know?
Yes.
Oh man, let's go flying.
I might actually watch that because there would be some funny tackles.
That's a sport I could get behind on ESPN show.
Yes.
Not cornhole. Yeah. Stop it, ESPN.
Cornhole's a great game.
It's a great game, not a sport.
Yeah.
And ESPN should not be showing it.
Well, they shouldn't be showing cheerleading either, but they do it anyways.
Yeah, well.
Cheerleading's actually got a flex seal in there.
Yeah,
you got to do some flips.
There's some tosses and flips.
I am just lobbing a beanbag onto a pallet.
I'll take a beanbag over.
It's fun to do, don't get me wrong, because I can have a beer in my hand and do it. So I love that aspect of it.
Okay, so I didn't watch it, but please tell me they had a beer in their hand while they were doing it.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
This is like professional. Like they're sponsored and everything.
Well,
like they have like bowling uniforms.
I feel like people do better when they drink.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I don't know.
Loosey-goosey.
Well, like I said, this wonderful program that you have been listening to has been talking about practice. We appreciate you guys for supporting us, lending your ears to the show. The show will be coming up next. We will be back here next week, hopefully with Jarrell. But again, as I did say at the top of the show, I have no idea.
Cross your fingers.
Yeah.
We hope you're back, Drew.
Yeah. But like I said, Brad should be hopefully be back next week, maybe.
I should be hopefully. If you guys want me back.
Yeah, yeah, we're good. John, obviously, as well.
We got to talk to Drew, but I'm pretty sure you got the invite back.
I'll talk about Giants a lot if you want.
Actually, he's not coming back, so say bye to Brad, everybody.
Aww.
Appreciate you. All right, guys, we appreciate your time. Like I said, the show is coming up next.
It's game over.
Here it is.
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
First of all, ladies and gentlemen, it's not obligatory, and I don't do it because it's obligatory, but because as a New Orleanian, an adopted New Orleanian, I know what the people in Texas, some of the people in Texas are going through right now, and my personal hopes and support are with them. This program is being recorded a few hours before you hear it, if you're hearing it remotely, like live. So I don't know exactly how bad it's been. But those of us in Louisiana who lived through 2005 know how bad it can be. And so, as I say, my hopes for strength and safety are with the people in Texas. Now, something a little more personal, something, you know, just a little bit about the media and about show business. And who can resist those two topics? Apparently nobody in the United States of America. You know by now, this happened since we last spoke, and by we, I mean me, that legendary comedian Jerry Lewis passed away this past week, the age of